So this morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 24. We're starting to read at verse 13. On the road to Emmaus. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What were you discussing as you walk along together?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So Gail is going to bring the message to us, but before she does, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Gail. We thank you that you have gifted her with the ability to be able to unpack your word to us and to teach us and to bring what you would have to say to us this Sunday morning in September. Lord God, I thank you for her, and I thank you that she is willing and able to come and bring this to us amongst all the other things that she's got going on at the moment. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless her, you will speak through her and open all of our hearts and minds to what you're saying. Amen.
Morning, everybody. This is a test if it's working. Yes, yay. It's good to be here with you all once again. And I'm going to begin with just reflecting on what the reading might have conjured up in your minds or begun to churn. So I wonder if it's caused you to think about your own journeys to and of faith, and the possibility of others commencing a journey to faith and growing in faith. For me, Luke 24, our reading, particularly 27, resonates with me. It resonates with me because of a sense of a reframing of scriptures being key to how people come to faith, part of my own story. So I will read verse 27 for you. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And so for me, I always associate this text with my journey to faith. And this year, I celebrate 25 years. So it's a special year, 25 years as a Christian. It was back in the year 2000 as I came to faith. And there was a connection to this story because at the church I was at the time, they were using the Emmaus resource. Very popular back then, in some ways similar to Alpha, which is much more common these days. And Alpha back then was probably just emerging, or it's much newer. And so I often say to people, my journey to faith is a bit like an Emmaus Road experience, because it involved the reframing of scriptures that I had heard up until that point in a way that I came to recognize Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I'm someone that had grown up in a Christian household, but I'd never for myself claimed a Christian faith until this point. I'd gone to Sunday school for a number of years, so I knew lots of scriptures, but it hadn't come together in a way that I understood Christ being at the center. And so this text, Luke 24, resonates with me on so many levels. So part of the story of me coming to faith was people at the church that I had started to attend back at the beginning of the year 2000, taking time to pray with me, prayerfully taking me through scriptures, helping me learn how to read them in a Christ-centered way, how it could all be related to following the ways of the incomparable Christ. That's part of my story. So this morning, I don't have any PowerPoint slides. I don't have any visual aids. Instead, we're going to use our imaginations. I love using my imagination and encouraging others to do so. And so right now, I invite each of you to spend time recalling your own journey to faith and perhaps how reframing of scriptures may have featured in that journey. If there's anyone here that hasn't yet made that journey of faith, committing their whole life to following the way of Christ, then I invite you to imagine what it would be like to take that step. As we ponder that, we also begin to think about what it was like for disciples all those centuries ago to have the risen Christ appear to them on that road to Emmaus. We recognize the difference it made to them, but what difference does it make to us that the risen Christ promises to still be present amongst us today through the power of the Holy Spirit? The disciples back then, once they received that peace that comes with knowing who Christ is, the risen one, whom death, the tomb could not hold, and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, they are a transformed people. Sometimes they pay a great cost, some of them even martyred, as they begin to help others come to know, love, and serve Christ too. The number of followers of Christ grows, and therefore the church grows. As we reflect on that journey of transformation, I'm going to encourage us to immerse ourselves in that story in Luke 24 as we think about what God has to say to us through it this morning. It's very much a model of how Christ reframes his story to those who seek to hear it. Is the meeting, the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus were in a state of confusion and disorientation. They had just seen their Messiah Jesus crucified and were grieving for him. People grieving is very much still part of life, our society. I'm sure we can relate to that either ourselves or other people we know. So it's in that state that Jesus comes alongside them, as we recall in the words of the scripture read to us. On that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So they've met with the risen Christ. Then there's the conversation. Jesus perhaps gives us the ultimate example of how to draw alongside someone in their time of distress and be a good listener. He asks them wonderful open questions which encourage them to tell of their experiences. He gets them talking. Again, I recall from scripture these words. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" they replied. "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." So Christ responds to them, having listened carefully to what they had said. He's able to help them make connections to things that they are already aware of and things that they already know, which will enable them to truly know God's love and peace in the midst of the situation. So he says to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Having said his piece, he gives them the opportunity to indicate if they want to hear more. Their response: as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. Having accepted the offer to continue to journey with them, he hangs out with them, on this occasion having a meal with them. In the midst of this time of fellowship, now they have had time to process what he had said to them earlier. They make connections between what they are experiencing and what God has to say to them in the situation to enable them to feel his love and peace. And in time, they will be able to share that revelation to others when they encounter them in a state of confusion, disorientation, and so God's love and peace will spread. So we eavesdrop on that meal, again, words from scripture. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So the risen Christ continues to reframe Scripture, working in and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It continues even after we commit our lives to following Jesus. We're perhaps reminded of the words from Romans chapter 12, those first two verses by the Apostle Paul, which tells us not to copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Indeed, in the earliest roots of the emergence of the Baptist way of being church, the Baptist tradition, there is an acknowledgement of this daily need to allow God to renew our thinking, to help us unlearn, or we might say reframe, our understandings as to how we are to live our daily lives. There's a little booklet called More Light and Truth, written by a Baptist minister, Sean Winter. And he brings together two phrases within it, more light and truth, and also the phrase ways known and made to be made known, rather. So I'll say that again. The first phrase, more light and truth. The second phrase, ways known and to be made known. These are two phrases that emerged from the very first Baptist church on English soil in the early 17th century. And so it encompasses some of this challenge of growing, reframing, renewing of our minds. Others have described it as the Bible is final, but human understanding of the Bible is never final or complete or finished, because we are imperfect human beings. And so I wonder, if we reflect on our own faith journeys, can we recognise how we have had to do some of this unlearning? Where have we come to recognise that we haven't really read bits of the Bible through the lens of seeking to follow the way of Christ? One of the common ways our thinking might change is in relation to our use of money. I know for me, as I learned about the concept of stewardship through the lens of Christ's teaching, I began to rethink church income and how it should be used. That will start part of my journey of faith, part of this 25-year walk that I've been walking. Similarly, I recall the way I believe the church should speak to people, even the most hostile people. Hostile people to Christianity in wider society has changed over time. That change for me has occurred as I have grappled with the church's challenge to love those who might feel like our enemies, as Christ commands. So again, that learning, that growing, that journeying, that reframing, that unlearning, it's part of that growing as a disciple. And so we know the difference it made to, as I said earlier, the disciples on the road to Emmaus encountering that risen Christ and allowing Christ to reframe their thinking. Once they receive that peace that comes with knowing who Christ is, the risen one whom death, the tomb could not hold, and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, they are transformed. As I said earlier, at great cost, some of them even martyred, as they begin to help others come to know, love and serve Christ too. And the number of the followers of Christ and therefore the church grows. Is that our story as we reflect this morning? One of growth. How do we recognise how we have grown in our journey? I intend to sit down on the 22nd of October, which will be the 25th anniversary of my baptism this year. I intend to sit down and journal, to write and reflect on that journey of the last 25 years. I will be just over a week away from leaving my role as a regional minister at EBA, so it'd be timely. I'll be reflecting on my journey as starting out as a young woman. My goodness, I was in my 20s. I'm now in my 50s, when I started this journey formally with Christ. At the time, I had no idea what was in store for me. I'll be reflecting on that journey as I went on to be a youth worker, church-based youth worker. From then, working with, for the first time, a regional Baptist association, the Heart of England Baptist Association, based in Birmingham at the time I was, doing community development work with churches, reflecting on how I moved on from that to be a local church minister, and then as a regional minister, and somewhere in between that, studying, finishing my PhD, doing some teaching at college, and as I look to this new journey as well. My goodness, it has been a journey over those 25 years. But I encourage each of us to think about how we are growing, but also how we are playing our role in helping the wider church grow, joining in with God's mission. God is delighted when we come to faith, but God wants us to not just rest in that delight, but help others come to know Christ, so we can all delight in that too. So we are pilgrims on a journey called life, committed to following the way of Christ. Or perhaps some might be contemplating committing the following the way of Christ. Either way, we need light to show us the right way to walk and watch over one another as we do so. The world can feel very complicated at times, and at times the global church can feel quite divided at times. But there's always good news when we turn to the Christ that we know, love and serve. The good news is God always provides the light we need to follow the right path, no matter how dark or confusing at times the way ahead may seem. Further light is always on its way. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus discovered that, and so will we, for which we must give thanks. Amen.